Today's gospel reading reminds me of a scene from the book The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The main character, Bilbo Baggins, has become lost and finds himself in a cave where he encounters the evil Gollum. The two of them enter into a contest of riddles. If Bilbo wins, then Gollum will show him the way out of the cave. If Gollum wins, then Bilbo will become Gollum's dinner. They have a whole contest and series of riddles such as this one. See if you can solve it. Maybe you remember it from the book. It cannot be seen, it cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empty holes it fills. It comes out first and follows after, ends life, kills laughter. Oh, Leilani knows. Ooh, time is actually the last one. That is, Bilbo Baggins says, give me more time. That's like the fifth riddle they have. This one is one that's a little earlier in that. Yeah, anyone remember this riddle? I didn't do the time one because I knew we'd all get that time one. Okay, fish. What is it? The voice? Oh, that's a different one. Yeah. This one, you guys are remembering all the good riddles there. Yeah, it cannot be seen, it cannot be felt, it cannot be heard, it cannot be smelt. Okay, we got one more try here, and then I'm going to tell the answer. It's quite a riddle, isn't it? Life, ooh, that's a good one too. Here's the last one, dark. The dark, it cannot be seen, it cannot be felt, it cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empty holes it fills. It comes out first and follows after, ends life, kills laughter. Yeah, yeah. Back and forth, the two of them have these contests of riddles. Yeah, Leilani pointed to one that's later on after that, that time is the answer for. And they go back and forth, back and forth. And I feel like Jesus might have been right at home in the contest of riddles that day. Because when Jesus starts talking, we all sort of get glassy-eyed, and it doesn't all make a lot of sense what he's talking about today. It certainly doesn't make logical sense, at least. I mean, just listen to what Jesus says. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Well, I don't know about you, but if you want to make sure that you're going to keep something, you don't try and lose it. And if you are trying to save or trying to lose something, then you don't try and save it. So it's a little confusing, you know? And then Jesus continues on as if that wasn't confusing enough. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Taking up a cross? Now, what is that supposed to mean? How are we supposed to take up a cross? I mean, should we literally take up a cross? I'm thinking, you know, we could have a sacred space station after the sermon today with some 2x4s, and we can all pound them together, and then everyone today would leave with the cross. That's what I thought might be a good activity for us immediately following the sermon today, but 2x4s are kind of expensive, so we decided not to do that one. Actually, there's a number of people that actually have taken this scripture very literally, and if you look it up online, you'll find up a whole bunch of people. You might find Arthur Blessett, who has walked 41,000 miles carrying his cross, and he's been carrying his cross since 1968. Or Joe Shortino, who heard God call him while he was working in the oil field to leave the job behind, build a cross, and walk around the country. Or if you want to find someone a little more local one day, you can go out to Greeley and you'll find Charlie Jones, who carries his cross every day all around the city of Greeley. There are also many, many more people that you can find who are literally carrying their crosses, taking up their cross to follow. Now, I do just have to make a little side note that I'm not quite sure that they got the text, because most of the pictures I've seen of these people carrying their crosses, they have wheels on them. I don't know if that's what Jesus was talking about, but I don't think his cross had wheels. So, you know, they're taking their crosses with them, but I'm not quite sure they have quite got the whole message there. But it's a bit confusing, actually, what Jesus is talking about. I'm not sure he's literally telling us to all take up our crosses and follow. But what he means sounds more like a riddle then, if that's not what he's telling us to do. While this is at first glance a bit confusing and seems like a riddle what Jesus is talking about, when we really look deeper, we find that what Jesus is saying speaks truth. It speaks a deeper truth and a truer truth, if there can be such a thing, about who we are and about how our world works. And so let's look a little more in depth at what Jesus is talking about, what he's saying. Those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. As we look deeper at this, we began to look and see, how do we understand what we mean by the word life? If we understand life to mean breathing and living and being alive, then what Jesus says doesn't make a lot of sense at all. Because if you lose your life, then you're dead. You're not alive anymore. Or maybe if we understand life to be the good life that we're striving after, the good life can be different for many of us. The good life where you don't have to worry about money, the good life where you're always happy, the good life when you have enough or more than enough. But then it also doesn't make sense what Jesus is talking about, because when we're striving for the good life, we want to hold on to that good life. We want a little bit more. When we're striving for the good life, we want maybe just a little bit more money or just that latest thing, and then the good life will be here to stay. A little more influence, a little more power. Maybe for some of us it's not those things. Instead, we want a little more time or a little more youth. Whatever it is, just a little bit more. And then you'll have the good life and be truly alive. And you'll have the good life for a while. You want to hold on to it for a while, but the good life doesn't last, and so you need to get a little bit more. And then you'll feel truly alive again for a little while. And if this is what life is, security or money or influence or power or youth or whatever it is, it doesn't make any sense to give up any of these things. Instead, if you give them up, you won't have them anymore. The whole goal is to get more, not to give it all up. And so what Jesus says also doesn't make any sense then, and sounds a bit like a riddle, that we save our life by losing our life. But if we understand life to be about relationships and love and forgiveness and caring for others and serving others, these things, they can't be quantified or bought. You can't have more of them. Instead, the crazy thing about these is that you actually get more by giving it away. There's a song that I learned when I was a kid, and I will attempt to sing it for you. It was a little painful at first service, I have to warn you. So, but this song that I learned as a kid, if you know it, I invite you to join with me, because it sounds much better when we all sing it together, but you may not know it. It talks about love and magic pennies. So, love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. I won't go to sing the next part because it gets even higher, and then it gets real painful. Listen to me. It says, it's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight. You won't have any. Lend it, spend it, you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. That's what love is like. When you give it away, you end up having more. This is the crazy logic that Jesus is talking about. That when you give it away, you end up having more. When you lose your life, you save it. When you share love or forgiveness or what you have, your possessions, your time, share your gifts with others, you end up having more. Just like when we talk about spiritual gifts, another crazy kind of logic that God has. God gives you a gift, and you get no benefit from this gift. But when you give the gift away that God has given you, other people benefit, and you find joy and peace and contentment, and you want to give it away more. You find yourself filled with life, true life with God. It doesn't make any logical sense, but it speaks a truth, a deeper truth and a truer truth than you ever could begin to imagine. The riddle that Jesus speaks becomes true, that those who want to save their life, to hold on to all those things, end up losing their life as they constantly strive for more. And that those who lose their life, who give it away for Jesus' sake, for others' sake, end up finding life, a deeper life, a fuller life, a more meaningful life than we ever could imagine. A life filled with love and forgiveness and serving as we give it away for others. It makes no logical sense. It's like a riddle, but it's true. It speaks truth about who we are, a truth beyond words. And this is what Jesus desires for his followers, true and abundant life. And so we look deeper at what seems to be yet another riddle that Jesus shares today. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Who wants a cross? Not necessarily 2x4s nailed together, but a cross as an instrument of death, a torture device. Who wants to willingly take on torture and pain and suffering? It doesn't make any sense. But in this situation, we look deeper and we see, who is Jesus talking to anyway? Jesus is talking to his disciples, talking to Simon, Peter, and Andrew, fishermen who left their nets, who left their livelihood behind, left their source of income to follow Jesus. To James and John, sons of Zebedee, who not only left their boat and their nets and their livelihood behind, they also left their father in the boat as well. These disciples have denied themselves to follow Jesus. And even though they gave it all up, they are finding life with Christ. They've taken up their cross, and while logically it makes no sense what they have done, they have found that they are living a fuller and deeper life as they follow Jesus. And so when we hear this passage about taking up our cross, we often think about pain and suffering and loss. Or someone might say, when a loved one or someone else is experiencing a really awful situation, they'll say, well, that's their cross to bear. But Jesus is not calling everyone to pain and loss and abuse and self-abasement. But again, Jesus is calling, as we take up our cross, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, giving things up not for the purpose of pain alone, but giving them up to lose our life in order to save it. And so that taking up our cross may be less about a call to suffer abuse and pain, but instead taking up our cross is entering into this crazy logic that Jesus has, where we discover that when we give it away, we end up having more, and we find deeper truths about ourselves and about the world. We find a more abundant life as we follow Christ. And while it makes no sense and we hear these words, Jesus not only teaches these words, but Jesus gives a living example to help his disciples and help us to understand truly what it means when Jesus says to take up our cross and follow him. Because immediately after Jesus shares these words, then we hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus heads up a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he is transfigured before them, shining like the sun. Suddenly with him, we see Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. And if there ever was life, this is it. Living with the greatest of all time. Peter knows it. Peter wants to stay there. Stay in the glory. Stay in the power. Let's just build some dwellings and stay here, Jesus. This is great. Avoid the world. Avoid pain. Avoid loss and suffering. But suddenly a voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then the clouds are gone. The light is gone. Moses and Elijah are gone. And it's Jesus all by himself on that mountain. And then Jesus heads down the mountain. And from this point on, Jesus begins his journey toward the cross, toward his suffering, his death. He has set his face toward Jerusalem, and it makes no sense why he would do that. It would be so much easier to stay on that mountain with Elijah and Moses and bask in the glory. But Jesus heads back down the mountain, giving his life for us. And in giving his life, he saves us. In going to the cross, he brings a deeper, more abundant life for us here and now. And he brings us eternal life. Jesus gives his life so that we may have life. It makes no sense. And yet it is a deeper truth, a truer truth than we ever could have imagined. Jesus' words, they often sound like riddles to us. And they don't make much sense at all until you try it. And then it still doesn't make much logical sense, but it changes you. It changes your life forever. Amen.